up, brother? What's up?
This is a moving party, man.
Right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Connor. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, Earl.
Yeah, it's still a little cold.
A little cold.
Yeah, listen, man, you gotta bring the old burlap blanket with you.
Yeah, and then I'm just gonna walk outside. It's 80 degrees. Burlap blanket.
You know, we're at that point, man, where in the morning it's a little chilly, but then by the time you leave here, you know, it's warmed up to about 80 degrees. So you really gotta, you know, how do you dress, right?
That's the dilemma. That's the issue.
Yeah, well, you know, you won't have to worry about it in a little while because it's not going to be 70 and 80 degrees when we get off.
Oh.
It's coming, man. It's coming. But anyway, good morning to everybody. Got a lot to talk about. It's I'm really excited about the fact that we're going to be broadcasting live from Labor Fest in Milwaukee. For those who don't know, that's who I am. I'm a union guy, and have always been that. Have never claimed to be anything other than that. At the root of who I am, down to my soul, I'm a union person. I'm an average everyday Joe who believes that the people of this nation, the people who work hard, who should be compensated based on the amount of work that they do, you know, are deserving of being compensated in a manner commensurate with the work they do. And I come from a time when that was the case. And, you know, when at some point in time, over 27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions and who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. That's who I am. That's who I've always been. That's who I'm going to die being. And those, I'm going to fight for everybody. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. And so, you know, I'm excited about Labor Fest, which is going to be taking place this coming Monday. And from what I understand, Crudy and I are going to be down at the Summerfest grounds. And if you've never been to the Summerfest grounds in Milwaukee, it's a jewel. It's one of the better places in the entire nation to spend time there in the summer. Connor, you been to Summerfest grounds?
Yeah, I went there when I went to Summerfest this past summer.
Okay, so beautiful, right?
Yeah, it's great. It's really, really, really cool.
Yeah, right there on the lake and just absolutely scenic.
Yeah, we were there and they had the concert stages up, and behind the concert stages were like these really big ships.
Yeah.
It was a really great backdrop for the event.
It is an absolutely spectacular place. Labor Fest is, and what I want to make sure I do is I want to walk with the people as they walk down to Labor Fest. They march down to Labor Fest. And from what I understand, President Biden is going to be there, the governor, I'm sure the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. I'm sure Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, candidate for United States Senate, will be there. There'll be strong representation. I'm sure that Senator Tammy Baldwin will be there, and we're gonna grab as many of them as we possibly can to interview them. So, Civic Media, congratulations to Civic Media, which is going to be broadcasting live, Crudy and I, from Labor Fest. And I have a love affair with Labor Fest. It's been going for 2 years, like everything else under the pandemic. But it'll be returning stronger, I'm sure, than ever. And those people, those union people, will be more boisterous as these elections approach us. So I'm excited again about this coming Monday in Labor Fest. Put it on your calendar to make sure you turn us on. Civic Media presents Labor Fest. I shouldn't say presents. We're going to be there. And we'll be broadcasting live, Crudy and I. Let me say this. The more, and I'm a guy who early on in the process did not want President Joe Biden to be the president. I just did not think that he would be the guy who could bring the message. Thought that he was, had been at it for too long and out of touch with what really needed to be talked about and done in this country to reclaim it for the average people who have lost traction over the last 20, 30 years. And so because Joe Biden had been part of the establishment and for over 40 years, I just didn't think he could understand or could change stripes. You know how they say a leopard can never change? A leopard can never change its spots. A tiger could never change his stripes. And lo and behold, I was wrong. When you look at the totality of what President Biden has attempted to do, it has been all the right things as it relates to the average person in this country. He has stepped up. He has talked about the right things to fight for the average people in this country, even though he's been met, like many others who want to try to do the right thing in this country by people on the right, conservatives who just don't seem to have it in them to have the right things done in this society, as if they somehow own this society. They own the narrative, and this is our way. It's our way or the highway. So President Joe Biden is going to be speaking today about more actions to reduce gun violence. He's going to call for Congress to fund community policing and community violence intervention. One of the things that's lost a lot in this debate is when we constantly talk about guns and we talk about gun crimes. You know, we talk about the person who committed mass murder. We talk about the people who walk into a classroom or a church or synagogue or a temple or a mosque, or who walks into a grocery store and guns down 10 people, you know, or 20 people or whatever the number may be, the mass murderer. But what we don't talk about is all of the people who die on a daily basis in cities, in small areas, from gun violence. And those numbers are just off the chart and lead the entire world. And yet, because these individual situations where somebody killed two people or they killed one person and those things add up, we just don't talk about those things. It's like, you know, that's what we've grown accustomed to. But I'll tell you something. If you counted up all of those murders, you would have to say that there has to be something done in this nation, not just waiting for the next mass murder. But man, I keep telling people where I live in Milwaukee, if you wake up in the morning and they say we're only two people have been killed, but 7 to 10 have been wounded, you consider that a victory. And you say, wow, man, it was a decent night. But that's what we've come to. And so that's what is acceptable, unfortunately, in this society. And so Joe Biden is attempting to do something that people before him has attempted to do. But, you know, he's plugging away at it. And so kudos to President Biden, who announces today more actions to reduce gun crime and calls on Congress to fund community policing and community violence intervention. Guns. Doing something about guns. How often do we have to keep having this conversation? Why is it so hard? Why is it so damn hard, you know, to get a nation that should look itself in the mirror? What did Michael Jackson say, Connor? Yeah. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change. Start with the man in the mirror. Hey, America, look in the mirror. You ugly. You need to make a change. And when it comes to killing of American citizens, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. And the fact that you don't have the courage to talk about it because you're an elected official and you're being paid. The fact that you don't have the courage to talk about that is at the root of what the problems are. And thanks to President Joe Biden for at least being willing to tackle it. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Got a lot to talk about. We're going to have a Wang Dang Doodle. Be right back. To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us that same number. I'm talking about the fact that President Joe Biden is going to have, make an announcement this morning about actions to reduce gun crime in this country. And you can look at all the different things that go on, and you hear constantly that we can't do anything about it. People are killing one another because of various things that occur, and mental illness and all sorts of other things they'll point the finger at, but rarely, if ever, will they point the finger at the fact that the accessibility to guns is just so prevalent in this society, more than any other society in the world. And the fact that you can't have a conversation about that without people's feelings being hurt and saying, my constitutional rights, you're impacting and affecting my constitutional rights. Never mind the fact that the society is really in a situation that almost is, impossible to turn around. If you pull up America's skirt, if she was a female, and you pull up her skirt, her drawers would be dirty, and she would need to change them. And that's where we are. And so Let's applaud President Biden. The president is committed to serving as a strong partner for communities on the front line of the fight against crime. That's why his American Rescue Plan gives cities and states historic levels of funding they can use to put more cops on the beat and invest in community-based violence prevention and intervention programs. What's wrong with that? Listen to this. President Biden also recognizes the important role that federal law enforcement plays in supporting their local partners, especially in stopping interstate flow of guns used in crimes. Like the gun that was used in the tragic recent fatal shooting of NYPD police officers. Let me say this. Yes, when a police officer is killed, that's a tragedy. But to families whose loved ones are being killed every second, it's a tragedy for them also. And I maintain that no life has any more value than another life. Law enforcement life or the average citizen's life has the same value. And whether or not, you know, you want to accept that or not, you know, it really is immaterial. Human life is human life. And so when human life and the blood of humans being spent all over, you know, areas of this nation, and we're not doing anything to work towards repairing that, then shame on us. We know, and our government knows, that a lot of these weapons that that are coming into central cities all over this nation can be tracked. And they come from the South, and they come from everywhere. You know, people talk about fentanyl. And they talk about, well, fentanyl's coming into our country, and nobody's doing anything, and it makes its way up, and people are dying. Yes, it's true. It is. But we don't take that same tack when it comes to illegal guns that are flowing into cities across the nation. Joe Biden wants to take a look at that. Joe Biden, and part of what he's going to be talking about today, is cutting those illegal guns out. Finding a way to stop people from, just like people cry about the fentanyl issue as well as they should, then they should spend, and the same thing should be in time and energy and effort, when you look at how many people have been murdered in this country, should be spent with dealing with the guns. The flow of guns into cities, to me, is as critical as the flow of fentanyl is into this country. What difference does it make whether people are killed by a fentanyl overdose or by a gun, by the hand of some deranged person who should not have a gun, but he does? The life is gone either way. And so, again, kudos to President Joe Biden as he attempts to at least bring it to the forefront. It's going to be a battle, a tremendous battle, as it always is when you talk about doing the right thing in this country. I don't know why doing the right thing in this country is so difficult to get done. What does it say about us as Americans? What we're trying to do is the right thing. We're going to talk a little bit about what that is when we come back from break. So it's 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Connor and I will be right back.
The Chicago and Kansas concert in Boston has been changed to the Kansas and Boston concert in Chicago.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, kind of, this is something, man, I want to get off my chest, man. And so here's some things that we should expect in this society that we don't get. For instance, here I am. I'm a radio talk show host. And so I come in here Monday through Friday and pontificate about things, what's right, what's wrong, based on my opinion in this country. And I do those things really a lot of times based on my life experience, and, you know, right or wrong, doesn't have any religious affiliation. It's not based on your economics, how much money you have, how much education you have. Certainly your religious persuasion. None of those things matter when we're talking about right and wrong. But so I come in here and I tell people and I talk about things, man, and there are people who listen and they believe in me and they expect, you know, a person in this position to not lie to them. They if they take the time out to listen to you, they expect you to be who you say you are. And I will tell you unequivocally that I am the person that you think I am. All you got to do is, you know, check me out. You know, Google Earl Ingram, and you'll see that I'm a man of conviction. I'm a man who tries to live my life right. I strive daily to be the best possible human being I can be and to impact other humans around me on a daily basis. And I think that's the least people should expect of a person who's in the public eye. So I don't think it's too much to ask that an elected official, I don't care on what level, should be who they say they are. Right? If you are a person who runs for public office, doesn't matter whether it's on the lowest rung of public office, school board, or if it's the president of the United States, and people believe in you, you should be who you say you are. And so that's not the case. Far too many times, people are disappointed. Now listen, so I'm not a God. I'm fallible. And I'm not saying that I'm not that. And I'm not so crazed that I don't do some things that, you know, that may disappoint some people, you know. But I don't do anything illegal for the most part. I'm not breaking laws. I try to live right. I try to be the best possible person I can be. And I would be that even if I wasn't on these airwaves. So shouldn't we expect our elected officials, our leaders in the society, to be who they say they are? We shouldn't have to find out, you know, that a Donald Trump, who was the president of the United States, was sleeping with porn stars. I mean, you're running for president, the presidency of the United States. Shouldn't you have some moral fibers, some moral character? Shouldn't that be a part of it? You know, don't run for governor or mayor if you know you've got all these skeletons in your closet. We should expect people who ascend to those leadership positions to strive to be morally correct. Nobody's perfect. But we shouldn't find out later on that you've got a string of things that, you know, it's not that you made a mistake once, but you continue to make these mistakes. And then people are looking at you in the role and position of leadership. And then they're disappointed when they find out exactly who you are. What am I talking about? You know, Archbishop Rembert Weakling was such a man. And Archbishop Wimbert Weakling is a man who ascended to this tremendous position of leadership in the Catholic Church. I remember him, and he was deified. And so, you know, Catholics believe so much in this man. Again, man. And he was in that position. And people should expect a man in that position to be a man of character. Listen, people make mistakes. But for heaven's sakes, you can't be the archbishop, you know, of any church, or you know, and then be molesting children. That just can't happen. And you can't say, well, he's a man, he made a mistake. No. You can't say that he made a mistake. He knowingly, thousands of children and families' lives were ruined. He was at the helm of it. He knew about it. He himself participated in it. He moved around others like him so they can continue to ruin the lives of families and children. I mean, I get it. I mean, I know that there are people who are listening who are Catholic and who will say, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. But that's not what this is. This is bigger than that. And so as a public gets ready to do a public funeral for Archbishop Wimbert Weakling. Is that right? There is a right and a wrong. There absolutely is. I know for many of you it's a tough conversation, but it doesn't mean we shouldn't have it. This man was a monster. Well, he did some good things, Earl. Talked to the thousands, and in many instances, tens of thousands of families and people's lives that were changed forever. He was a monster. So how does he get this, you know, this public send-off? There is a right and a wrong in this. You know, Connor, as we see if there's anybody who has the courage to join this conversation with me, I don't know if you're familiar. I know you're not familiar with him. You're a young man. But here's what took place. Tens of thousands of children were molested. Some say as many as hundreds of thousands of children have been molested by priests in the Catholic Church. Archbishop Wimbert Weakling himself was a pedophile and ruined all of these lives. And he was such a respected person in the society that when this came out, people were in total shock. So, you know, because again, he was held to such a high standard with being an archbishop and in the Catholic Church, that when this hit the fan, people were in total shock. And in many instances, they came to his rescue and sided with the archbishop as opposed to the people who accused him and others of having done this horrific thing. Well, you know, once the truth came out, there were still people in disbelief. The fact that he was willing to pay off hundreds of thousands of dollars to some of the people that he sexually abused, just think about that. People in the church, children in the church, believing in the church, believing in the priest, believing in Archbishop Wimbert Weakling, and then having to deal with being molested. The families who found out that their child was molested. You know, horrible, horrible, horrible. And now that he is finally at 95 years old, has succumbed to life, what do you do? Do you celebrate his life publicly? That's where we are. That's what's getting ready to take place in the city of Milwaukee, a coronation for a man who did unspeakable things to children. How do you overlook that? How do you say, in the face of that, we are going to have this, you know, we're going to send them away right. We're going to ignore those things that happened. And we're going to make sure that he has this great coronation. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. I told you, you know, I'm willing to have a conversation about any and everything. And nobody can have a conversation with me that'll be on the other side of this where they can justify any of what happened. But our phone lines are open. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Don't you step on my blue suede shoe. Hey, diddle diddle, I'ma play my fiddle. Ain't got nothing to lose. Roll over Beethoven, tell Tchaikovsky the news. You know she wiggle like a glowworm, dance like a spinning top. She got a crazy partner, you ought to see him reel and rock. Long as she got a dime, the music won't never stop. I roll over Beethoven, 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 dig to the rhythm and blues. back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And, man, Connor, as always, you always surprise me. Great music. Let me do this before we let you in, Connor. Advocates for Victims of Clergy Abuse on Monday protested the public funeral for former Archbishop Rembert Weakland. Weakland's funeral mass is planned for 4:30 p.m. today at the Cathedral of St. John the Evangelist, the seat of the Milwaukee Archdiocese. He died August 22nd in Greenfield. Weakland will be buried in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, at St. Vincent Archaeby, where he attended high school, college, and seminary, and eventually became Arabot. Weakland admitted in 2008 in state court deposition that he shredded copies of sex abuse documents, failed to notify law enforcement officials, and moved sexually abusive priests from parish to parish without warning members of their histories. A private funeral mass in Pennsylvania would have been better. The Reverend James Connell, a retired Catholic priest who was also vice chancellor of the Milwaukee Archdiocese, said at a news conference Monday outside the cathedral. What are your thoughts? Archbishop Rembert Weakland deserves no honor or praise because doing so would put salt in the wounds of victim survivors of clergy sexual abuse, O'Connell said. So I know that there are Catholics in this listening audience, and I know that this hurts. I don't care if it was a Baptist minister, if it was a Muslim imam. I don't care if it was a potentate or a sheikh. I don't care who it was or what religion. But this should have not been acceptable. What took place, and the fact that somehow he receives a coronation. Connor, you say what?
I mean, I could imagine certain Catholic or Christian people in our audience, like what you had said earlier. He was without sin, cast the first stone. It's like this philosophy of compassion, of infinite compassion for individuals. But I think what they fail to understand is that protecting children and making sure that children are raised in an environment is one of the most fundamental things that God asks us as humans to do. And in Genesis, be fruitful and multiply, you know? So it's like the idea, anyone who crosses, there is, I feel, right, a barrier for people in which we're able to allow into to common society and people that we should not. And I think obviously that barrier is people that cross that threshold. And I think you can have compassion for individuals, but the thing about people that are pedophiles is that it's a psychological disorder. And so if you have compassion for those people, that's enabling them. You're enabling them. And through enabling only allows that them to continue. I mean, who knows the things in which he may have done that we just don't even know about because it got to a point that it was never clinically or properly dealt with. So, I mean, I think it is a really terrible thing, terrible, terrible thing this happened. And I think that people should be, whether you're a Christian or whether you're, it doesn't matter who you are, should understand that, like, we should draw, religions across the world should draw more boundaries as to which what qualifies as compassionate and not compassionate. So
you know, I prefaced all of this at the beginning with, you know, I am who I am portrayed to be on these airwaves. You're not gonna dig into things and find that I'm something different than who I am. And I think we should expect that from people in leadership, right? That shouldn't be an exception. That should be a rule. And again, whether you're a Christian pastor or any of these other things, people should expect that from you. And if you can't be that, then you shouldn't be leading, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's my issue. Excuse me.
A lot of people are driven to that type of power, not completely out of amicability, but also because of the fact that they're able to control their narrative. You know, once you get large amounts of power, you can control the people that are able to, you basically are able to direct the people that are around you. You can say, tell those people, don't say this specific thing about me. Don't talk about this specific thing about me. I mean, this is why we have companies that invest so much time into lobbying, right? Because, and spend so much time either into lobbying in a political sphere, but then just in genuine advertisement in the corporate sphere, you know, because it's about the more power you gain, you're able to control your narrative more. And there really isn't any disincentivization for that, any penalty, any obvious penalty for that.
Yeah, but
specifically in religious institutions.
But man, when you're in a position to impact other people's lives, like you are when you're in these religious leadership positions, there's a higher standard. And there should be a higher standard. For instance, here's another story. Prominent evangelical pastor tearfully steps aside after unwise relationship. Now, this is a Christian evangelical pastor. We're going to talk a little bit about that on the other side. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.